This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live from the Entertainment and Sports Arena in D.C. Brought to you, as always, by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop,
yes, Eric
Bickle, and Johnny Cakes Auville. It is weird doing a show from a different location.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah,
I've only been saying it for 28 years.
I agree.
Although, they're so nice.
Bother me so much, it's using the headset and not the microphone.
I kind of like the headset.
I do like the headset, too.
I like them.
Because I don't have to work. I can lean. I can just do whatever I want.
Yeah, look, you don't do that in studio.
No, but I don't have to move the thing.
It's different when you're – because you feel like you're on stage here.
This is different. I've always said this, and this may tilt people, but when you're doing this – this is actually like you're doing TV.
Yes. Yeah.
And like they freak out like if you're not at your seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in radio.
I come in late all the time.
Yeah, it's radio. Nobody cares. Yes. Even though we're on TV, we're in a radio station.
By the way, the set is very nice. If you're out watching on Monumental Sports Network,
it's pretty good.
It's a fancy table. It looks professional.
Yeah.
EB's mouse won't work on it. It's got all the bells and whistles.
You guys did a great job.
Yeah, no. And everyone's nice.
It's just, I'll be honest, uncomfortable.
It's
out of my comfort level.
I want to, for the rest of my life, work in a dungeon.
Yeah.
That's what we like.
Correct. I want to be able to go to the bathroom and walk in late.
Yeah.
To the segment.
I wouldn't go in that bathroom for a while. I would just say.
How are we doing? How are we doing on Tony?
We got Tony La Russa is about to call us. Is he on right now?
Hey, all Skip. Right. How are you?
Well, I'm listening to you.
Complain.
I'm not only comfortable,
but
I'm a little concerned about the bathroom thing.
Yeah, I'd stay away from the bathroom.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah, I would for sure.
So, Tony, before we get into a World Series preview, tell us how you've hooked up with PenFed Foundation and you're working on helping out veterans.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. And the beginning is our family, Elaine, our daughters, Bianca and Devin, for years. Our passion, our priority on a personal level has been companion animals, rescued animals, and what we can do to rescue them. But also we've learned they can rescue us. And if you think about a companion animal with a rescued animal with unconditional love, it's almost miraculous how much they can help your spirits. And one of the most obvious candidates is a veteran. What they go through, we can't do enough to help them. And we've learned over the years that just the wagging tail and unconditional love really improves their quality of life. So we found a real partner with PenFed Foundation. They're very active in the veteran field. And it's as simple as the unconditional love improves the quality of life of veterans.
No question about it. All right, so let's get over to the World Series. Actually, before we get to the World Series, we were talking about this. We're all guys who were born in 1970. So in 1981, when Fernando Mania was going on, it was kind of when we were starting to play baseball and into it. What are your memories of Fernando Valenzuela?
A good way to explain it, it's a good question, because one of the problems nowadays is in such a emphasis on as much velocity as you can throw, as much spin as you can put on a breaking ball. And usually what happens is you don't have that command trying to overthrow. It's more about throwing than pitching. Fernando was a pitcher. Changed speeds, moved all around. You couldn't ever look for one thing. He had just a whole basket full of different pitches and very colorful. He had this amazing delivery. He took his eye off the plate and then threw a dart right to the exact spot he was aiming. We had one unique situation with the A's in Toronto. Dave Stewart pitched a no-hitter early in the day, and then that night on the West Coast, Fernando pitched a no-hitter. So, this amazing pitcher. Love to watch him work.
Dave Stewart, by the way, is trying to buy a team, right?
Dave is very, he's got a group. He's made a real effort. If it's true, and I think it probably is going to be that at some point baseball expands, Dave is working hard in the Nashville area to have that group. Recently, he made headlines when he and Jerry were talking about ownership, and I think the speculation was that Stu's trying to buy the White Sox, but that they were just talking baseball.
Tony, before we talk about the World Series starting Friday, just got to get your thoughts on just the state of the game and your opinions on it. You started managing back in 1979, and of course you're one of the greatest managers. You won three World Series, all the way up until 2022. So you've seen a lot of changes in the state. How are you feeling about baseball's rule changes now? And how do you feel about the direction of the sport with the pitch clock, the three-batter rule, the base runner in the 10th inning on second? How are you feeling about baseball in general and the rule changes?
Well, I think the perspective I had, I actually signed when I was 17 years old out of high school, and I was under those rules of bonus as an 18-year-old. I was in American League. And I saw those days, it was really a veterans kind of game. Young guys very rarely got up. And then as I went to manage, they had started free agency, a lot more publicity. So the game changed where you had to really concentrate on not getting your team distracted by fame and fortune. Then around 2000, the people with all the information, the metrics, they came in and had a lot of very useful information provided, but sometimes they get in the way of the dynamics of the reality of the game. So what happened, the game had really slowed down, too much dead time. And recently, 2 years ago, they made some very important changes. You know, cut out the being able to play most of your team on one side of the field.
Mm-hmm.
They had brought the running game back. The team that wins the most is a well-balanced team that can win 10-9 and 2-1. And I think what's happened is that the game is starting to recognize that this period of launching the ball and trying to swing from your butt, strikeouts are immaterial. That's not how you get to October. So I think the game, I think we drew like, what, didn't we draw 70-some million or something? We had great playoffs. This matchup with the Dodgers and the Yankees is ideal. So I think we've learned how to position metrics with traditional and how to keep the game moving. Dead time, boring. We got a lot of that. The pitch clock has been a lifesaver.
How great is this matchup, though? You mentioned it, the World Series matchup with guys like Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, a lot of stars in this World Series.
Well, yeah, it's an ideal matchup. Not just, I know MLB is really happy because you've got these two franchises going to draw a lot of attention, but each team has a handful of really outstanding superstars.
Yep.
And it's not balanced one way or the other. And each of the teams, this is very important, they're complementary guys. They all take really good at-bats. And a lot of these games when you win, because the other guys that get pitched so tough, it's a complementary guy that gets a rally started. So on the offensive side, it's a very well-balanced, can be very entertaining. And a lot of what happens is how well you pitch against a really good hitter. So if one team has a pitching edge, and say it's the Yankees, and all of a sudden Ohtani, bets, I hope Freddie can play Freeman, they might get shut down. So for me, the key to watch is just who pitches better, starting with the starters and also the bullpen. But other than that, it's a classic matchup.
It's a great matchup, and Tony, you can talk about this because this is also very different because the Dodgers, talking about their pitching and their starting rotation, they had to go bullpen in two of those games against the Mets. They had to do it against the Padres. This has never happened before, certainly not in the World Series, because in the World Series, you usually have great starting pitching, rotation, healthy, 1-5, probably only use four of them. But the Dodgers probably have to go bullpen at some point in the World Series against the Yankees. It's very strange.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how I watch it because, normally during the season you have some times where somebody's sore and you have to have a bullpen game because you have to. And it creates problems the other side because you can really match up during the game. But it's not the ideal way to win. The ideal way to win is get your start to get it to the last third. And one of the other problems is if you have to play a bullpen game, if one of your relievers has a bad time out there, you know, that crooked number could be the difference. So it'll be interesting to watch. Right now, the Yankees probably have a legitimate starter every game. The Dodgers are going to have to mix and match. But, you know, unpredictable, man. It's just going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, Tony, I would just like to get your thoughts specifically about Ohtani for a second. I remember, you know, we have Mike Rizzo on every week during the season, general manager for the Nats. And I remember when Ohtani first was sort of burst onto the scene and everything. And I remember saying to him, this is going to happen more often, right? You're going to have, because so many great athletes at college and they pitch and they hit and everything. And he just mocked me like you wouldn't believe that, you know, like Ohtani is just so different. You know, he is like one in a billion. And I kind of was offended by it, but now I get it. He's 100% right, right? Yeah. This guy is a rare bird.
Well, Mike, as you know, is an outstanding baseball man. Great history.
Yeah.
Got the great championship beating, when they were together with the Nationals. But I actually was in Japan with the Diamondbacks, working for the Diamondbacks, and I saw Ohtani there. And could see for myself this is a unique talent. I mean, when he has that kind of stuff as a pitcher, and not just power, but he's really a good hitter. I mean, he puts the ball in play. So it was no surprise to people that scouted him or some of us had a chance to see him in person. It's interesting as he goes forward. He's shown when he's just a hitter how record-breaking he can be. I think the pitching side's a tantalizing extra, but that would probably shorten his total career. So I think the Dodgers would probably be smart about pitching him if they really need him at times. But he is, there's nobody quite like him ever.
Yep. Tony's been a pleasure talking to you. Know you got to run. That's Tony La Russa, 3-time World Series manager. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony. Enjoy talking to you.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
What a legend, huh? Tony La Russa.
Yeah. I think that went about as well as it
sounds.
Could be
pretty
expected.
Sharp for 80-year-old dude. Like he's got it. He's very lucid. Got it together.
Just think he was managing 2 years ago.
I know he's. You know what? He got out of the White Sox at the exact right time.
His first year with the White Sox, they were really good. They got to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then the second year wasn't great.
They lost 121 games this year.
Yeah, they broke a record.
That's god-awful.
He got out at the right time.
Yeah.
But he remembers what he was doing when he was 17 years old. I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday.
When I was 17, do I remember what I was doing? I was
doing a lot of nothing.
I was doing a lot of nothing, getting bad grades.
Right.
Super horny, just trying to hook up with chicks. Like what every 17-year-old is doing.
Right. Very true.
At that point in their lives, right?
Well, you were playing high school tennis.
Yeah, high school tennis, yes. I was very accomplished. Made the number 2 doubles team.
I bet you remember your racket.
My racket back in high school is definitely a Yonex because I was a big Martina
Navratilova
guy.
Didn't you have a Fisher?
Yvonne Lendl guy. I might have had a Fisher at one point, too.
You had a Fisher.
Yeah.
Right. It's so bizarre I can remember people's rackets.
I don't know why you would remember that. That's kind of weird.
It's weird.
It's kind of strange.
What's the one I had? I had like a black Borg, I think, at one
point. A Dane. You had a Hurricane
Dane. Dane?
Yeah, Locke.
It's like when they moved from wood
to
like
black
composite
Max
or something like that.
He loved John McEnroe.
I had a Dunlop Black Max.
Yeah,
then
I
the
remember.
Prince Pros came in.
Oh, I had
huge.
A Prince Pro.
Jason, what do you like tennis? What'd you have? Do you have a Prince Classic? You look like a Prince
guy. I think I had the Yonex.
Yeah.
You had a Yonex?
I think I did.
I had the Yonex. How about this? RX-7.
I think that was my racket, too. It was my weapon of choice.
That's bizarre. I can remember the model.
But then, wasn't Becker a Puma guy?
He was a Puma guy.
I think I got a Puma when Becker.
I actually
like
did,
86,
too.
Maybe.
I had a couple.
I got a Puma.
Do you think I didn't have the Yvonne Lendl Argyle Adidas shirt back in the day?
I just bought a jacket a couple years ago. You're jealous of my jacket.
I probably am a little
bit
jealous.
I'm going to wear that tomorrow.
You're going to make me jealous.
You won't remember.
I probably won't remember. Yeah, it literally, if you're just tuning in, it's a miracle I'm here today.
It is a miracle.
You know, we're here tomorrow, too.
Okay, I'll meet you there. I'll meet you there, buddy.
Oh, God, I was hoping we could pull it off.
Yeah, you think?
All right, still to come on the show, we have Alex Saar, who was the number 2 pick in the draft. We talked to Coach Keefe a little bit about him. They're clearly focusing on defense first more than offense, but he is the future of the Washington Wizards, he and Bilal Coulibaly. So we're going to have Alex Saar on the show, and we've got the GM, Will Dawkins, and EB,
Coach Loxley later in the show. Off that big win. So nice. We are packed.
He'll be a little happier this
year. Oh, yeah. He will.
Live from the Entertainment and Sports Arena in D.C.
Guarantee he got some sleep after the
we'll
USC.
Come back with the Junkies Blitz and go around the NFL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, next. Welcome back. A little change in plans, change of schedule, yep. Because Will Dawkins, I guess, is available now, the GM of your Washington Wizards. He joins us now. Oh, they're actually showing us how we said hello to him, our greetings.
Yeah. The walk-in.
See if we had good hugs.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like a fit check. It's like, like before a game. Yeah. We would flunk that.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You would fuck with that full tilt jacket. 15 years old.
I forgot. So I'll be honest with you. When I got dressed, I forgot I was coming in today.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
We appreciate it anyway.
Kids broke it down. Like, there was a period where EB did a poker podcast, which is probably when you got that. What years did you do mediocre poker?
Oh, this is like 20. I mean, it's close to 20 years old. I mean,
wait.
But don't you have some things that are that you just like?
You've been doing podcasts for 20 years?
We are ahead of the curve, brother.
That's impressive.
Yeah, no, we're ahead of the curve.
Pretty impressive.
But he's still playing mediocre poker.
That's true. My poker actually had gotten worse. I would actually do a show called now. Terrible poker.
I mean, the only place that exists outside of here is on YouTube videos.
You know how you get this, though?
20 years ago.
Salvation Army donations?
No. I won this for playing like half a million hands or something online. Yeah. Like, I mean, I played a lot to earn this.
Good use of your time.
Earn, not given. That's good.
Yeah.
Keep it.
Yeah. That's when you were 15 table.
No, it was multi-table. He didn't care, but it is interesting. When they took away online poker, uh-huh. I've always said it on the show, and it's very true. It was a great thing. It was a catastrophic day for me. But it ended up being the greatest day ever because then I remembered, I actually have three children.
That's right.
I have to pay attention to them.
New hobby.
Yeah. So it's actually the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Well, I forget. Awful. You have a couple of
I have three, yeah.
Three.
We stay busy.
How old are they?
8, 6, and 2, almost 3 now.
And you told us last time they're starting to get involved in sports.
Starting to get involved
in
sports.
What's your 8-year-old in?
His favorite right now is flag football.
Ooh, nice.
He went off again last weekend, threw for one, caught for two.
Oh, yes.
Game winner. So he was feeling good about
Every dad's keeping stats.
I'm taking video, putting highlight tapes together. Yes. It's never too early, right?
So he's quarterbacking and playing
receiver. They rotated through, so he felt pretty good.
What kind of a sideline dad are you? You're not the coach?
Oh, not the coach. No. He doesn't want to listen to me in any sport.
Are you a silent sideline parent? Mm-hmm. Are you?
So I'm the one that, every parent's on the left side, I go to the right side.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit on there by myself, and I'll, record the game so that I can go back and watch it with them. And I'll give
them,
one or two things per game, more sign language, hey, good job on that one, good job on that one. Just keep his confidence going.
Oh, very good.
You mean you haven't
basketball's a little different, though.
Okay. Basketball, you're a little bit more
vocal. I'll be hey, man, come on, let's pick it up. And he'd be like, you're not my coach. Don't tell me what to do. I'm like, all right.
So you never got a letter of reprimand from Montgomery County like I did when I was coaching soccer and I
Please
intimidated.
Tell me what happened? A referee or a player?
It was a child referee, and I stared at him.
With, the red whistle so you know they're not old enough?
No, I just stared at him. And I thought that was good.
When you say child referee?
About 14.
Oh.
That hurts. That hurts.
I mean, should have been arrested.
I literally got a letter of a reprimand.
Did they give you a red card? How does that work?
No, but he definitely tattled on me. He definitely ratted me out.
All right, so, Will, one of your first big moves as GM, obviously, is drafting Alex Saar, and we've talked to you about him in the past, the number two pick, Alex Saar. You've now been through a preseason. This regular season's about to approach. Do you like where you're at with Alex Saar? What should fans expect?
Yeah, I would say I like where we're at with a lot of our players. I think when we were on here last time, we talked about summer league and that just being four games. We got to watch him play three games in the preseason. I think you can see the jumps that he made. He makes those week by week, month by month, and just going to continue to chip away. But all three of our rookies are really mature and have different backgrounds. We're professional backgrounds that you can see their habits already building. But like we talked about, Alex is going to be a menace defensively for a long time, starting year one. And then the offensive stuff, I think you guys have seen him space the floor, bring it up, make decisions. There's a lot there.
I'm going to guess he wasn't as fazed by his shooting percentage in a three-game sample size in Vegas Summer League as everybody on Twitter were just losing their minds about a three-game sample for a 19-year-old kid just trying to find his way.
Yeah, for sure. We're playing the end game. He's very mature mentally. Towards the end of that, I took him to dinner just to see where he was at, and he was very positive and knew, hey, this is what I want to work on. This is the gauge. I took that one. Yeah. The first one. The first one.
Right.
I'm guessing ultimately he's going to have bigger contracts than you. I'm sure
doing pretty well right now.
I saw his rookie number. He's doing all right.
The advance hadn't come in yet, so I covered it for him.
He's doing okay.
But judging by Coach Keith and just kind of looking at him when we were talking about, he could go 0 for 20. He didn't care. He's locked in on his defense.
Yeah, his mindset for that age is rare. It's rare. He knows that he's
going to
make the next play.
No, but I'm saying coaches doesn't seem to care. Locked in on his defense.
We met with all 18 of our players this last week and talked about their player development programs and, like, the freedom that we're giving them to play their game, especially our young players. Like, we don't want to put them in a box. Make the right play, make the right read, and, like, be aggressive. Right. We'd rather have you make a mistake out of aggression than anything else.
I don't know what his, points per game is going to be like, but he's going to be – I'm going fantasy angle here.
Okay.
He's just going to have his hands on the ball a lot. He's going to block some shots.
Yeah. All right.
He's going to get steals because he's so long and athletic.
Rebounds.
Yeah. Rebounds. He's going to be in the box scores.
Yeah. He's going to have some wow moments and some highlight plays. Yeah. But if you're really watching, you'll see the nuance to his game.
On both
and
sides.
The way he affects just winning basketball. And he's very vocal for a young player, which is hard to find, especially
now,
for bigs.
The question is Bilal going to be that way?
Which way? Vocal or just impactful?
Is he vocal?
He is vocal in his own way. Those two speak French to each other with Keyshawn, which is pretty funny.
Okay.
But Bilal, when you see him, he's taking strides just in his confidence, his ability to play with the ball. Defensively, we challenged him to be one of the best defenders in the league.
Hold on. Keyshawn speaks French, too?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a little French connection going on.
But they goof on him because they're actually French, and he's not.
Well, his dad is from Montreal.
Oh.
And French-Canadian. Playing in Montreal, playing in Canada, so that he was able to really learn true French from his dad. So, like, they speak it very well.
Hmm. That's awesome.
Do they look down on us Americans? When the French can
not
be snooty
American,
towards Americans.
No. They're pretty high-level kids. They look down on me because I mispronounce everything.
Okay.
So that's about
they
it.
They definitely look down on us,
Case. 100%. Yeah. Well, speaking of looking down on us, we have a real GM here in Will Dawkins. Do you, behind closed doors, and if you say yes, I can handle it, do you make fun of us fantasy football and basketball dorks behind closed doors?
Absolutely not, because that's me in the other sports.
Okay. Yeah. All
like,
right.
I'm a
okay,
huge
good.
Fan, like baseball, football. Like, I'm following all that and
Excellent.
Talking to my friends, talking trash.
Perfect.
In leagues.
Yeah.
If you can be in leagues.
You're
you
in
know,
a half,
things of that
you're
nature.
A half PPR.
I'm in a pick 'em league right
PPR
now.
PPR guy, right? You're not standard football.
No,
league.
No,
it's
no,
too boring.
No, I'm not doing all that.
You told us, I'm sure I've forgotten. What's your pro team? Are you a Patriots guy?
Like, I'm not a Patriots fan. So when I grew up in the early 90s, every team that was good, I became a fan of.
Right. That's sound like this guy right here.
So I was a bandwagon fan to start, but I've stuck with it. So the Bills are really good, and then it was 20 years of misery.
Yeah.
So now
right.
it's like back
so you're a Bills
to
guy.
Competitiveness.
All right, so have you watched Jaden, though? I need to get your evaluation.
Jaden's big time.
He's the real deal,
he's
right?
He's big time. I like the fact that he was at different colleges, was able to kind of have
55 games in college.
Had that experience, built himself out, won the Heisman, came in with that confidence year one. They kept the playbook simple for him, but he's continued to evolve and make those down-the-field throws. So they got a really good player.
I often tell these guys I have an elite eye for talent.
You told me that already.
I mean, it really is true. Now, I missed on Jamie Davis. No, he has talent. He just didn't fit in round peg. What is it? Round?
Square hole.
Square, whatever
round
it is.
Peg. Yeah, yeah, round peg, square hole.
Right,
whatever.
Round hole.
Right. When you're watching an NBA guy, right? I'm assuming you can tell what 2 minutes? Like, how long does it take for you to know this kid? This is the real deal. This is real talent. I guess it depends on the level.
Yeah, for sure. I think when you walk into a game within 5 minutes, you can see what they have, the body type, the athleticism, and then you try to see if they have like something special, one or two skills that will translate.
So 5 minutes
and
for
from
you.
There,
say
you're
if you
like,
go to a high school game, 5 minutes?
No. At that level, it's much harder because they're
it
playing
is.
With a lot of different people. They usually stand out physically, but like you can find out, hey, does this person have an NBA skill within those first 10 minutes? And then it's evaluate what level is that skill is,
all
how
right.
hard it is, and then what does that project to, and what else can he add over the course of that? And that's a lot of the intel.
All right,
work
so for Jaden, it took me one play. That's how elite my
NFL or
NFL
LSU.
One play. I just saw the
he
one throw he had to Deion.
I know the play. He threw it to De'Ami Brown. And
down the field
game.
Of the
I already knew he could run and all that stuff. I saw that throw. I said, we got it. We're good. Settled down. We're good.
I got to watch Caleb Williams as a freshman when I was in Oklahoma often. My wife and her family from OU and like had season tickets. So like going to see Caleb Williams versus Jaden this summer or this weekend, mm-hmm. be big time. Because if hopefully people are patient with him, he's starting to figure it out too. If you keep mm-hmm. watching,
are you able
how he's
to go?
Playing. Yeah, I'm gonna go. Definitely.
Oh, nice.
Go
yeah.
When did you know Alex Saar was a stud?
It's weird because I saw him probably 2 years ago for the first time in a basketball setting in terms of OTE, but I had his brother, Olivier, in Oklahoma City. So he would come and be in the gyms, and you'd be like, that's a little different.
Yeah.
But then when I really went to all the way out to Perth last year and just saw the physicality and how he kind of caught up and the way he runs the floor can dribble for his size, like, it was like, okay, this is different.
Hey, this guy,
it probably takes about
dying.
Six steps to get down the floor.
He's
maybe.
Dying
Once
to get on an
going.
Airplane and fly to Perth. He loves long flights.
I do.
He's a big fan.
I didn't realize how far Perth was. I've been to Australia probably six or seven times, but never to the West Coast. Man, that was a far flight.
So I wanted to ask you about something that you just said.
Worth it, though. I'll say that.
When you were talking about Jaden Daniels, you said you liked that he played in multiple colleges and played all these games. That's an outlier now in the NBA draft.
Yeah.
You're drafting a lot of guys who don't play that much. Now, a player like Dalton Knecht, who's with the Lakers, who put up 35 in the preseason.
Yeah.
I don't think he
played well
that
last
much
night.
Last night.
Played well last night. Made a couple
minutes.
Passes. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. That's kind of an outlier now. Like, how do you balance potential versus guys who actually have a lot of experience?
Yeah, I think
college?
It depends on the timeline of your team. I think specifically when you're drafting 18, 19-year-olds, you have such a longer runway. And you have more of an impact on their development. But players that are like seniors, Buddy Hield, for example, when those guys are coming out, they're kind of knowns, and you know what they're going to be. And guys that are Dalton Knecht level and Buddy Hield level have that skill set that you know are going to keep them in the league for a long time. So depending on where you're picking in the draft, you kind of change the value based on how many years you have them under control. So he's a really good player, and he dominated the SEC
once
he got to that league. So you knew he was going to be a good NBA player, too.
I mean, late bloomer, too, because he didn't start out that way. I don't even know how many offers he had coming out of high school.
Only in his area. Yeah.
But getting back to this roster, obviously as a GM, you want to win every game. I know you want to beat the Celtics.
Competitive.
But
especially those guys.
But when you have a young roster like this, and you have these two young studs, and Bilal and Alex, what do you want to see?
Yeah.
What do you want to see going forward?
Night one, obviously, is just night one. We want our team to be better and our players better each month. And by game 82, look like we're playing more of a style of basketball. It's going to propel us into the future. But night one, I want to see where their competitive fire's at. Mm-hmm. They're playing against some all-stars. They're playing against a team that is stacked 1-8. It's a very deep team. So, like, how much are you going to go out there and compete? When things is hard, will you keep pushing through it?
Right.
And then offensively, having the confidence to go at those guys in return. So I think we have a more competitive group. We definitely have a more defensive mindset group. It's going to be a tough night because they're an elite offensive team, as we saw last night and saw all last year. But it's a pretty good day one for us because our guys are going to be ready
to
go.
It's a good test.
That's what it is.
You know what I mean?
Every night will be a test for us.
Did you feel like you got better every month last year?
Not every month. I would be honest on that. I thought we had a little bit more ups and downs, but probably the second half of the season, we got a little bit more consistency. And then once we made the change, I thought we continued to get better, and we were in more games.
I talked to Coach Keefe about this. One of those guys who did improve the second half was Jordan Poole.
Correct.
And, you know, interesting guy. Everybody knows his background. He could score like an unbelievably fast.
Yes.
You know, put up numbers. I expected him right off the bat, like in the Wizards uniform, to be scoring 25 to 30 a game. I think I might have even predicted, he's going to score 25 a game. He's going to be league scorer. No problem. It took some time, but I actually think he got better as a playmaker in the second half of the season.
You're right. You're spot on that. Jordan and everybody here tell you, like, he got off to a tougher start than he would have wanted, but he stuck with it, to his credit. And the gravity that he had off the ball in Golden State, we're trying to combine that with the ability to play on the ball this year. So we were able to add more decision makers around him. So you'll see him having that ball, making plays, getting downhill. But also I think you'll see him playing off the ball, flying off screens, setting screens, making shots. So you'll see a little bit more confidence in him. And to be honest, he's just in a better mental space. He's more comfortable. And I think he's going to start the year similar to how he ended it.
So I don't know if you can comment on this. When I look at your roster now, I see guys like Valanciunas, Brogdon. I feel like they should be renting. They should be renting in D.C.
Well, I'm sure Bill probably told them the same thing behind closed doors.
Right? Is that fair as fans to think, you know, the young guys, I get it.
Yeah.
This, you want to see what they have. You want to see them develop. And you need some veterans to be here. But you're going to be active come trade deadline.
I think it's a unique situation for us. We're always going to be active. And I think it's more opportunistic. Like, when it makes sense, we're going to make the right move. But with those guys, they're at a point in their career where they really appreciate the role that they have here in mentoring these young guys and being around a first-time coach and really setting examples. Malcolm has family here and his wife's from here. So it's like it means something for them. So I wouldn't say those guys are rental players at all. Those guys have a true impact on the team.
Oh, I said rent their homes. Yeah.
So like, same thing. They're coming here to help us win and build this moving forward.
And now one of those guys that's going to help you win is Corey Kispert. How long has the contract extension been in the works? He signs the deal. I think it was 2 days ago that was made public. 4 years, $54 million to keep him here in D.C. for the next few years.
I appreciate you bringing that up because I feel like Corey sometimes is just like Mr. Every Single Day and kind of sometimes
kind of under the radar.
Underappreciated, but what he did last season to become an elite finisher while also increasing his volume for three really helped our team. He's someone that can play off of everyone on our team and make the team better when they're out there. So contracts take a long time. Negotiations are negotiations, but we were able to get it in probably the last few hours, and I'm really excited for him and his family to be able to kind of set them up financially moving forward and just give him ease of mind to keep playing because he's a really good player, and he's still developing. He's still getting better. We put a lot in front of him, and he improved and hit his metrics by the end of the season. So the guys love him. He's an everyday guy. He's a true professional, probably the best we have in terms of taking care of
his
body.
And he's one of those guys who played a lot of college ball.
Played a lot of college ball. Very
but you know what? He might want to rent, too, because did y'all give Denny a big deal? Shut his ass out. It doesn't really mean that much around here.
But they got a great deal for him.
Opportunistic. Yeah. Opportunistic. Opportunistic, I'll say that.
Right.
Well, how are Bilal and Alex going to get shots up when Jordan and Kyle are on the floor? That's the question.
I think you'll see our offense and how it's changed this year. You can see it a little bit more in preseason. We're still playing as fast, but you'll see initiating, flashing.
The ball
Whoever gets the ball from the rim can bring it up to, not Jonas, but everybody else who gets the ball off the rim has like the green light to bring it up. So hopefully that'll encourage us to be a better defensive rebounding team. But passes per possession, that will increase this
year. Can you tell us your sort of like game day routine? Like, I'm just so struck by your demeanor. I mean, this guy, I mean, you guys can tell what a genuine, like, nice guy.
Appreciate you saying that.
No, no, really. But I got to imagine, probably a nightmare during the game, right? I mean, I don't know. What's your demeanor like? Where are you?
Yeah,
like,
where are you
when do you talk to coach? All that.
Yeah, so the day of is once I get into the gym, it's just watching shoot around, talking to coach, talking about rotations, what he wants to do. Sometimes he'll bounce ideas off me. He's like, hey, I got a question on this and that. What do you think? Because we just have a relationship like that. But him and the coaching staff make all those decisions. I'll probably go home, see the kids, get dressed, and then go to the game. Typically try to get a workout in at the arena with the guys just so that they know I'm there and involved, especially the guys that are injured. While they're rehabbing, I try to be in there for them. Shower, and then once the game starts, it's out of my control. Like, that's on the coaches and the players. So I like to sit the first half with my family. I'm behind the bench, and I want to enjoy it with my family. The second half, I'll go and sit with some of our other front office
people. You ever go sit? What is
it,
the Hennessy Loft?
I haven't made it there yet, but there's a couple times where I have to go visit and see some people, and they'll be in them. Those are really nice.
Hey, when I go and I bring some of my friends, can you big-time me and show up? That would be
cool. Say, hey, we did that last time. I got you.
Oh, dude, I want to do that.
And from what I saw,
like a rock star.
Just kick the renovations that are
coming. The renovations that are coming and the suites are coming. High level.
Very
so, like,
nice.
In a couple of years, you're going to really be hosting.
Oh,
we like to be spoiled.
You're going to be big time. Yeah. We got you guys. Yeah. You guys take care of us.
Very nice.
And then
he is the steak king.
I am the steak king. I deserve a certain level of respect. But, no, you said the second half, where do you go back out in the suite?
The second half, I roam around a little bit more. I'll go to our front office suite. I'll go see, kind of sit with Coach Thompson, but also be in the back to kind of handle any questions.
And then honestly, you're such a good dude. Like, how often do you get, like, pissed off? Like,
you won't see it on my face very often. I try to be in a mild manner. There's probably one or two times per year where I might go in the back at halftime and just be like, hey, guys, like, that ain't it. That's not the effort. But for the most part, I'm there to support. And when I need to encourage, I can. But I'm there at the end of the game giving them fist pumps, giving them love, win, lose, however it happens, letting them know that we're moving on to the next game. But I try to be involved during the day, but during the game, let them have their space to make this mistake.
I actually think that's the right way.
Awesome.
That's the right way.
I learned from some good people.
Yeah.
It's general manager of the Wizards, Will Dawkins. Of course, you can listen to the Wizards on the Team 980 all season long. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
Junkies coming to you live. We're on a quick road trip today at the Entertainment and Sports Arena in D.C. Will Dawkins, Wizards general manager, just joined us. Alex Saar scheduled to join us. That's either going to be 9 or 9:20.
Right. You know, you don't often think about these things, about like how we started and where we are right now. But I put a
That was then, this is now, picture up from our BCTV show.
Right.
When we were so cramped in on a, you know, we started as a TV show with a desk, but the desk was so small that Jason would wear shorts and you would see that he was wearing shorts because his leg was sticking out.
Yeah.
I was kind of behind the guys because there was like a part of the desk that jutted out. And
it was a Mickey Mouse operation.
I went to the bathroom for the break, and I came back, and like, we got all these amazing lights and this crew. We used to have, you know, the Chins working cameras, which is EB's in-laws working the cameras.
Things have changed.
Things have definitely changed.
You know? So got a glow up is
you
what's
can,
happened.
You can see it at Junks Radio if you want to see kind of the that was then, this is now. But time now for the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Offenbachers. You can visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis. They have a huge selection of hot tubs, swim spas, fire pits, pool tables, and outdoor furniture.
Love Offenbachers.
NFL trade deadline is coming up, and seems like there's a lot of action. Right now, the Titans and Chiefs finalizing a trade that is going to mean DeAndre Hopkins is going to be wearing a Kansas City Chiefs uniform.
Smart for both teams. The Titans are going nowhere. You get an asset back in return. I'm not sure of the compensation yet.
Conditional fourth rounder.
Okay, so you get a mid-round pick for a guy that you're not going to be utilizing going forward. And the Chiefs, if he's healthy, they have, you know, a top 20-ish wide receiver at this stage in his career. And he's an upgrade over a lot of the guys in the current wideout room there in Kansas City. So it worked for both
teams. Rashee Rice, obviously, going down kills them.
Yeah, hurts.
But they're winning in different ways because they're winning with a great defense, too.
Right.
You know, they've had, think about it, they've had their stud receiver go down, their stud running back go down.
Pacheco,
and they're still undefeated.
I think they just lost a corner, right?
Just lost a corner, Watson, right?
Juju went out with a hamstring injury. So,
but they just find ways to win.
Even the guys they're bringing in to plug in for the injured guys are now going down.
Yeah.
So they have to keep, you know, looking for pieces, and Hopkins is one of those guys.
Speaking of wide receivers, Puka Nacua back at practice this week for the Rams.
He's big. I got him in one of my leagues.
And he says he says he hopes it's not the final days that he's working with teammates Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford. The Rams' 2-4 start has led to chatter about trades involving both Kupp and Stafford. Cake says the Stafford rumors have been debunked.
I don't think there's any truth to that.
But Les Snead, the GM there, is a very active guy. Like when it comes to trades and moving parts around, and if he feels like the team isn't going anywhere that in its current iteration, he'll make changes.
Maybe they're moving on. Look, you had Aaron Donald retire, so maybe you just decide we got to go young and move on from some of these vets and try and get the most you can for guys like Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford.
They might have to move on from McVay because you think he's going to stick around for a total rebuild? And
maybe if he knows he's going to get a silly quarterback in the draft next year.
It's interesting because if they got Kupp and they got Nacua back, you know,
you're not dead at 2-4.
You're not dead.
No.
Especially in that division. I mean, I know they're three games back of the division leader in Seattle, but I don't know. Maybe they could go on a run if those guys came back healthy. Kupp's probably going to play this weekend. Nacua, all right, maybe he's not going to play this weekend, but maybe next.
Rams play Thursday night, by the way. It's a Thursday night
they play Thursday
game against the Vikings.
So
it might be dependent on this game because if you go to 2-5, then you might be like, hey, let's ship Max. Stafford's got
and they're probably not going to win Thursday.
How many years does Stafford have left? I mean, I guess it depends type of player
he's
going he
to be. TV. He's going to be awesome on TV. By the way, he's got a great personality, good looking dude. He'll be for Fox or CBS ASAP.
We got to see Andy Dalton in person against Washington. Wasn't good on the field, and it hasn't been a good week for him. The Carolina Panthers revealed some frightening news. They announced in a post that on social media that Dalton and his family were involved in a car accident on Tuesday in Charlotte. They weren't transported to the hospital, so everything's fine. But I guess things got worse for Andy Dalton.
Was it Bryce Young trying to run him off the road so he gets his job back?
He tried to Nancy Kerrigan him?
He might see the incident. Is there any videotape?
Yeah.
Videotape. What am I, 100?
Yeah.
What am I talking about over here?
Video.
Maybe street camera.
I need to go home and go back to sleep.
You did work for George Michael.
It's what I did. It's true. I was part of the sports machine back in the day. A vital cog, might I add.
Some other NFL news here on the Junkies Blitz. Debo Samuel out of the hospital after being treated for pneumonia.
That's so weird.
Niners desperately need him in the lineup. He checked into the hospital after it was discovered that he had fluid in his lungs.
Cake's got fluid in his eyes.
Yeah, but I don't need to go to the hospital for that.
You might.
I don't think it looks like
it's drying up a little.
Yeah,
bit.
I'm good now. I don't think it's hospital worthy
yet,
this point.
All right.
Maybe you should wear sunglasses. If it's the lights which are causing
the lights couldn't be brighter.
Do you think the light? I don't think it's the lights. I think it's.
Are you staring? The lights are bright, but I haven't stared at them.
I mean, our guy Greg is saying he's vouching for your boy. He's saying the lights.
The lights
are super
can
bright.
Cause your eyes to water.
Well, it causes.
Maybe. He's got allergies.
Yeah,
too.
Allergies are the primary suspect.
Did you notice that when Coach Keefe was sitting with us, that there were flies buzzing around everywhere?
Yes.
No.
I think they were fruit flies.
They were making me crazy. I almost brought it up because I kept going. Like
I know. I was guessing it was coming.
I think they were fruit flies. Look, I got my banana right there.
Oh, so you're the culprit. It's your fault.
Right there. Yeah.
Is that what you think it is? They were buzzing.
They look like fruit flies.
What other fruits are around here?
We got food over here. There's food.
Don't ask for that. I got blackberries over here.
Are you trying to put it on Coach Keith, EB?
I was going to ask if he had a sandwich in his jacket or something. I didn't understand what was going on.
Chris Godwin.
Well, hold on, real quick, getting back to the San Francisco receiver issue. Mm-hmm. You know, this past week was a disaster because Ayuk out for the year. Mm-hmm. Debo didn't play. So Purdy, who didn't play well, but he's throwing to rookies.
Right, Ricky Pearsall.
Now Pearsall,
had a big role.
And Juwan Jennings wasn't playing, so he's been a stud when the other two guys are out. But Jennings will be back. And this is a desperate game for both San Francisco and Dallas. So Pearsall, now his role is going to be prominent. And, you know, obviously Juwan Jennings. Who knows if Debo is going to play? I would assume probably not. If he's just getting over pneumonia, but
they have a bye next week.
They got
too,
a bye so next I'm, week. And that might be when you see McCaffrey after the bye.
Right.
A couple other nuggets here. Chris Godwin, who we saw on was that Monday Night Football? I get confused.
Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
He's going to undergo surgery for a dislocated left ankle.
Kills him.
They say he's likely done for the year. I can't believe they even are throwing out the possibility.
I mean,
his foot was pointing
the wrong way on his leg.
Yeah.
Like he's
yeah,
he's
but sometimes they can pop those things back in.
I guess. I mean, you love talking about popping Jaden's rib back in and popping Chris Godwin's dislocated foot back in.
When Robert, his foot was sideways.
Yeah,
they popped it back. I think he played a few weeks later. You know who else did it? Tony Finau. Do you remember that at the Masters?
No!
The par three. His foot popped out.
He was able to play, though.
Yeah, he finished top 10.
Mm. Yeah, that was different.
Todd Bowles, the head coach of the Bucks, said there's a chance if we make a late playoff run, he could be back. Well, they better make the playoffs first.
Yeah.
Because now they
better
don't have
on.
Godwin, and it looks like Mike Evans.
He's not coming back until after week 11 because
exactly.
of his hamstring.
Wow.
They call it a moderate hamstring strain.
You know what? Cooper Kupp.
Peptides, tell them peptides. That's a soft tissue injury. I'm telling you, it's amazing.
I'd also tell them to stretch.
Coming up next
might be some good advice.
The set's going to get a lot taller, because of us.
Good.
Alex Saar, the number 2 pick
Very
in the NBA draft for your Washington Wizards, set to join us next here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news. You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.